Your worship today is beautiful before the Lord. The Lord delights in your worship today. He is pleased with your heartfelt adoration and outpouring of your love and devotion to Him. Praise God. Praise God. What a beautiful, beautiful presence of God we sense in this place. Jesus said, if you're tired and you're weary, come to me, he said. The Lord loves you. Amen. The psalmist said, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Can I tell somebody today that you are always on his mind? He's always thinking about you, and he cares deeply for you. God is concerned with what's going on in your life. And might I say, sometimes things go on in our life that we do not understand, and we seek answers to why. I haven't come with a why today. I'm going to be frank with you. Often in life, we may never find out why. Sometimes things occur in our life because of our choice. Sometimes things occur in our life because of the choice of others. It doesn't seem fair. But one thing, a sovereign God has created this world to be is a place where there's choice. Choice. Choice to serve him, choice to not serve him. And both do have consequences. You see, that's why humanism have tried to steal creation and replace it with evolution and try to steal God's law out of society is because to eliminate the choice factor. But folks, we can't get away from choice. We're product of choice. But with that said, I want you to know that although life brings us things, sometimes because of our bad choices and sometimes because of the bad choices of others, there's never a time in your life that you are not on the mind of God. God didn't make the sun come up in the Eastern Hemisphere today and then all of a sudden see you and say, oh my word, there they are. I forgot about them. I need to take care of them today. No, you were on God's mind before the sun ever cracked the horizon in the eastern sky. You were on his mind last night when you laid your head down on that pillow and you wondered if anybody cared about you and if life was ever going to get any better. He cares for you. Just want to seek the Lord one more time before we get into the word of the Lord and let that word touch us today. God, break through us today. Break through our minds. Break through our whys. Break through our confusion, Lord. Let the word of God, Lord, your word said, is it not as a hammer that breaketh in pieces? Break our mindsets today, Lord, with your word. Help me to understand that you care for me, Lord. Your word says, casting all my care on you because you care for me. Lord, your word tells me, God, that you will take my burden, Lord, as I cast it on you. You will never suffer the righteous to be moved. Minister today in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. I want to turn your attention to the book of Galatians, chapter 1. The book of Galatians, chapter 1. We're going to be reading in verse 6. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. Scripture, Paul writing to the church at Galatia, he said, and I'm going to read from the English Standard Version in your hearing today. He said, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone, everybody say anyone, that includes me, that includes you, is preaching or proclaiming to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. That kind of narrows it down, doesn't it? Reminds me of what Jesus said. He said, straight is the way, narrow is the way, straight is the way, the gate leads to eternal life. He said, if anyone's preaching to you another gospel contrary to the one you ever received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Church, there comes a time when we're not going to please everybody. And it's not that we're out to displease people, but the Word of God is a sword, and it will cut and it will divide. He said in verse 11, for I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. I want to preach to you today the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel, everybody say of. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray today that you would open our hearts and our minds. Pray that you would touch today in the name of Jesus, Lord, and let your kingdom come. Let your will be done, God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say the gospel of Jesus Christ and be seated. Praise God. The Lord is good. The gospel of Jesus Christ. I didn't come to preach necessarily about the gospel about Jesus Christ. I've come to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, which contains the good news about Jesus Christ. But there is a difference, my friend, because the gospel of Jesus Christ certainly entails the story of the Lord Jesus Christ, from the incarnation of the Lord in the Virgin Mary to the sinless birth of Jesus Christ. Amen. Being God manifest in the flesh, his growth as a child, his growth as a young man, the launching of his ministry, the miracles, the turning of water into wine at the marriage of Cana of Galilee, the first recorded miracle that Jesus did in public, to the raising of the dead, to the healing of the demoniac of Gadara. It all entails the story of Jesus Christ, to his crucifixion on the cross and his resurrection on the third day and his ascension from the grave, amen, and his ascension into heaven. It all entails the gospel, the story of Jesus Christ. But I have come specifically to talk today about the message that the Apostle Paul preached. I am certainly fully aware that the letter he wrote to the church at Galatia was written to help them, because there had been those who had came in among them saying, you must keep the law of Moses, in addition to the salvation which you received. Paul said, no, there's nothing we can do to merit the grace of God. There's nothing we can do to earn the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing we can do to make God want to save us. The law served its place. It was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. But now we are saved by grace through faith in Christ, which will lead to an obedience to the gospel. Well, how do you know that, Brother Pritt? Because he asked them the question, did you receive the Spirit by the hearing of the law or by the hearing of faith? How did it come? So the implication is made in the scripture that the church in Galatia had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen? So, my admonition to you today, in the day and age which we are living, is beware of people who try to explain to you why the Bible does not mean what it says. They're out there. Paul was so adamant that what he preached was the correct gospel. He said, though I, the apostle Paul, though I, the one who sat at the feet of Gamaliel, though I, the one, he was a Pharisee of the tribe of Benjamin, had a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, knocked off the horse, blinded. He looked up into heaven and he said, Lord, who are you? And Jesus said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. That man was so adamant about the gospel he preached. He said, whether I preach another gospel to you or an angel from heaven preach another gospel to you, let him be accursed. Why? Because, my friend, it's not just a matter of life and death, but it is a matter of eternal salvation. Amen? Amen. Even this apostle who wrote this verse, read it in Galatians chapter 2. He said, after I preached this gospel for 14 years, I went up to Jerusalem. Why did he go to Jerusalem? He went and he submitted himself to the elders of the church. He went to those who had first received this gospel and preached this gospel. He went to the board, so to speak, and he told them, he said, this is what I've been preaching. He said, I did it because I wanted to make sure I had not run or was running in vain. And they concurred that, yes, you have the right message. My friend, it is important what we believe. It is important what we obey. It is important what we read in the Word of God and apply to our lives. It's important what your preacher preaches to you. It's important what your Sunday school teacher teaches to you. It's important what your mama and daddy are telling you, my friend. It's important who you listen to, because this is life and death. Beware. Beware of people who try to explain to you why the Bible does not mean what it says. It grieves me to hear people to discuss the Word of God. I heard it on a radio station one time. It was a call-in radio station, and I'm not even sure what it was called and who the minister was at this time, but I could name the network to you, and I won't do it. But they called in and they could ask him any question about the Bible. And I remember specifically that night a lady had called in and was getting ready to ask about baptism in Jesus' name. And no sooner had she got her words out of her mouth, he vehemently denied and drew the sword out and rebuked the woman that she was wrong and it wasn't necessary. And I thought, my God, you can read it all through the Word of God. And here's just a woman. She wants to know, is what I'm reading in the Bible true? And he became angry with her and refuted her and rebuked her. Person after person after person that night called in with questions, legitimate questions. I'm reading it in the Bible. Well, that's not for us today. That stopped here. That doesn't apply to us. And I thought, my God, dear man, what does apply to us in the Word of God? Be careful. Be careful when someone tries to explain to you why the Word of God doesn't mean what it says. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17 says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8 says, in flaming fire, the Lord is going to come back, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel that Jesus Christ gave his disciples, who became his apostles, who, after he was raised from the dead, 40 days, the Bible says, he walked with them. 40 days, he ate with them. 40 days, he fellowshiped with them. 40 days, he reiterated the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel that Jesus gave his apostles. The gospel that they were going to all the world and to preach, baptizing folks, making disciples. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel that is to be, according to the Word of God, obeyed. Be careful of people who try to explain to you why the Bible doesn't mean what it says. Because in Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 8, in Acts chapter 10 and in Acts chapter 19, in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the book that Luke, who walked around with Jesus, the book who walked around with the Apostle Paul and penned the words and the recollections by the Spirit of the things that happened from before the day of Pentecost up until the end of the recording of the book of Acts, records a definitive response of those who hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and believe its message. In Acts chapter 2, it was when the Holy Ghost was poured out and it was noised abroad and it looked as though they were drunk. And Peter gets up and said, "Men and brethren, these are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing that it's but the third hour of the day. It's only about 9 a.m. He said, "But this is that. This is that. This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh." And he talked about what your sons and what your daughters are going to do. And young people, I was just thinking about you the other day. My friend, God is going to use you, young ladies. God is going to use you, young man. You're going to prophesy. You're going to be used by God mightily in this last day. And he talked about the crucifixion, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he said, "You Jews, you are the ones who put him to death. And he rose again." And the Bible says when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. There was conviction in their heart. They said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? What must we do? Well, we're in this predicament now. How do we get out of it?" The Bible says, he said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Not as an outward sign of an inward work of grace. Not because you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ." He said, "But for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." An honest question deserves an honest response. My friend, don't let anybody tell you that baptism in the name of Jesus Christ is not essential when you read it in the Word of God. I'm talking to somebody today. You might be in here. You might be watching online. You might pick this up off the internet 10 weeks from now. And God has been talking to you. God has been showing you in the Word of God. The way you've been baptized may not be right. Well, I'm telling you what, my friend. If they didn't say, "I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ," then it is not right according to the scripture. And I've come today to tell you, because I love you, because there is one way and his name is Jesus Christ. He laid down a gospel. It's his gospel. It's not my gospel, friend. For the remission of sins, look it up. Get your lexicon out. Do a word study. Get your Strong's Concordance out. Remission, the taking away, the remitting, the removing, and even the forgiveness of sins. My friend, I didn't graduate from Bible school, and God bless you those you did. I certainly didn't graduate from Urson School of Theology, and God bless any of you who are taking classes there, okay? But I am smart enough to figure out that if Peter said to be baptized for the remission, the taking away, the removal, the forgiveness of sins, and I haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, that means my sins aren't taken away, they're not remitted, and they're not forgiven. I'm asking somebody. I'm encouraging somebody today. Again, you might be in here and you might be online today or someday, but please, please be careful of people who tell you why the Word of God doesn't mean what it says, my friend. Because that spirit, I don't care how nice they are. I don't care what kind of church they pastor. I don't care how many times they have you over for dinner. I don't care what they've done for you, my friend. I don't care how nice they are if they are leading you away from the Word of God. If they are not encouraging you to obey the Word of God. If they are telling you you are okay right where you are. I want you to go back to the book of Genesis and I want you to read the encounter of the serpent and Eve in the Word of God. Hath God said you will really die? God knows that you won't die. God knows you'll be like him. It's okay. Go ahead. I'm telling you what, it is reminiscent of that same spirit. Any spirit that takes you away from the Word of God and tells you it's okay if you don't obey the Word of God, my friend, is not the Spirit of God. His word is eternally settled in heaven. Acts chapter 8, great revival. Samaria, Philip's there preaching the word of God. Signs, wonders, and miracles are happening. People are being baptized. How? In the name of Jesus Christ. Read it. It's in the book of Acts. It's there, my friend. But they had not received the Holy Ghost, so they send for Peter and John, pillars of the church. One of them has the keys to the kingdom. His name is Peter, right? He comes down, they pray for them, they receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There was such a powerful demonstration of the Spirit of God. Simon the sorcerer looked around and said, Hey, I'd like to do this too. I'd like to be able to lay hands on people and then receive the Holy Ghost too. Can I buy that? You see, he misunderstood the operation of the gift of God. He thought it could be bought with money. By the time Peter got done encouraging him in the word of the Lord and rebuking him in the word of the Lord, he was a different man. He was repentant. But I'm telling you what, the point being is, there was a response to the gospel. Acts chapter 10. Cornelius is a devout man. He's a good man. He's a praying man. He gives to the poor. He gives alms. He's a centurion, the Bible says, of the Italian band of soldiers. He loved God. He worshiped God. And guess what? He wasn't born again. His sins weren't remitted, my friend. That goes to tell me it's not by works of righteousness that we are saved, but it is by our faith in Christ, which will lead to a response to the gospel. So he calls for Peter. Peter didn't want to go. Peter still had some prejudice in his heart. He said, Lord, he said, I've never touched anything common or unclean. God said, don't you dare call that which I have cleansed common and unclean. You get down there and talk to that man. He goes down and talks to him. And Bible said he got there. And it reminded me when I was in California, Nathaniel got a call, as I said, to go talk to a lady that had having some trouble, wanted to hear the word of the Lord. And by the time they got to the house was full. That's awesome. Same thing happened with Cornelius. Peter's preaching the word of God. He's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, while he yet spoke, the Holy Ghost fell. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And what happened? Peter and those that had gathered with them heard them. And they were astonished that on the Gentiles, thank God it happened. Amen? Thank God it happened. That on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did they know? They said, because we heard them speak with tongues and magnify God as it happened to us at the beginning. And Peter said, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized as well as we? And he what? He commanded them. He didn't give them the option. He didn't say, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're saved. And trust me, please hear me. I am not criticizing anybody with that mindset, but I'm going to make a bold statement. And I told someone I work with this and he understood what I'm saying. And I trust you understand what I'm saying now. But Christianity, modern Christianity today, is going to send more people to hell than we ever imagined, my friend. I don't need modern Christianity. I don't need modern dogma. I need the Word of God. I need the Acts of the Apostles. I need the Word that they preach, my friend, because that is what Jesus gave to them. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, he commands them to be baptized. How? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll go you one further. Read Acts chapter 11 on your own. Here's a little homework assigned for us. Go home and read Acts chapter 11. Because the council, those in Jerusalem, had heard that the Holy Ghost had been poured out on the Gentiles. What is going on here? That ain't supposed to happen. See, they were just as human as we are. Sometimes they were just as carnal as we are. Sometimes we feel bad about who we are. Come on, read the Word of God, people. Read the Word of God. They were just as carnal and human as we are sometimes. But you know, they, like us, they needed to repent and they repented. Amen. So we heard that the Gentiles got the Holy Ghost poured out on them. Peter, come up here and tell us. Okay. So he goes and he rehearses everything I just told you. And you know what happened? When the elders and those in Jerusalem heard Peter's story, they rejoiced. But you know why they rejoiced? Because they said, thank God, because unto the Gentiles was granted repentance unto life. My friend, take it in context to the Word of God. The early church considered repentance unto life four elements. Number one, faith in Jesus Christ. Number two, repentance. Number three, they had received the Holy Ghost. They did a little bit out of order, but that's okay. I received the Holy Ghost before I got baptized too. You can do that, you know. You can do that. They received the Holy Ghost and they spoke in tongues. It was identified, it was recognized by Peter and those who came with him because they heard them speak with tongues and they were baptized in Jesus' name. Put it all together, the apostles considered that repentance unto life. Amen? Acts chapter 19. We're gonna get to the folks who believed on the Lord, but You already been baptized. We're going to get to you too, because I was one of them. Anybody else was one of them? Anybody else? I got baptized when I was 12 years old. Had no clue why I was getting baptized, because mom wanted me to. Okay. That's a good reason, isn't it? I was young. You know, when you're young, are you really going to go tell your mom, "Hey, mom, I'm just doing this because you want me to"? I mean, come on. You know, you don't do that. At least I didn't. But, so we were there. It was kind of funny to look back on, because I will tell you this, though. And again, I'm going to stop here. I'm going to put this commercial in here for anybody listening to this. I'm not criticizing anything anybody believes. Okay? I'm not criticizing any experience anybody already has. The reason why I'm saying this is because it can be taken as that sometimes. But what I am trying to do is jolt us and help us to understand that there is a gospel to be obeyed. Okay? There are a lot of sincere people in this world, but there are a lot of people who are sincerely wrong. How can you say that, brother? Because I have the authority of the Word of God. It's not my gospel. Amen. It's His. So we're at Trinity Gospel Temple in Canton. Maybe some of y'all know where it is. Right off Tuscarora Street. And I thank God for that place. You know why? Because that's the first place I ever felt the presence of God. I can take you to the church. I can take you down the hall. I can take you almost to the seat where we were sitting when I first felt God tugging on my heart. Just pulling me as a 12-year-old boy. Just pulling. I won't go into the rest of the long story, but she wanted to be baptized, so I said, okay, I'll be baptized. They had a double baptistry. It was pretty cool. You could baptize two people at the same time. And it was baptism time, and I was in the back, and I was in the men's dressing room. She was in the women's dressing room. And we actually made it out there at the same time, believe it or not. I don't know how, because there were so many people. But I heard him out in the heard the guy out in the microphone baptizing people. Said, you know why you're being baptized? He didn't ask me that. And I'm glad I was in the dressing room, because I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. Mom wants me to. I have no clue. And I'm, 12 years old. I am pretty smart. Enough to reason at the time, if I go out there and I tell him in front of 2,000 people, I don't know, mom wants me to, that's not going to be a good answer, It's not going to make a very good presentation. So, anyway, I'm like, what am I going to do? It's really happened, man. And so I heard him say, for the remission of sins, I'm like, that's it. Oh, for the remission of sins. I have no idea what that means, but if they ask me, I'll have the right answer. So I went out. And I did my thing. I was baptized in the titles of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But something happened between there and 3 years down the road. I figured out that what I was being told, because I'm telling you, I was seeking God so much. And I'm talking to somebody who's seeking God. I'm talking to somebody, maybe you were like me. Maybe I remember very distinctly when the televangelist, people, I've heard people make fun of people like that over the years. For me, God used them, line upon line, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, to bring me to the Acts of the Apostles message. And I cherish those moments, because I remember, if I called his name, you'd know it. I can't believe he's still around. I mean, my word, he seems old as Methuselah, but televangelist and talking about how you can receive the Holy Ghost. Just kneel in front of your TV right now. And I think by then I had been going to Brother Lucas's church in Worcester, and I remember kneeling and praying, and he said, you received the Holy Ghost. And I'm like, no, I didn't. I was on a farmhouse. I was by myself in the spare room where the TV was and the chair and whatever else was there. And I knew. And that's why I'm talking to somebody today. You know what you have isn't quite right. You want more. And I've come to tell you today, I'm a witness. You can have more. You can have what God wants you to have. I remember, if I called their name, you'd probably chuckle and laugh. But I remember one particular wife of a televangelist, and she had tapes out and CDs, and well, not CDs back then, but tapes. We were barely out of 8-tracks back then, but cassette tapes. I'd pop one of those in that old farmhouse living room, and I was home by myself, and I remember just worshiping God. Didn't have the Holy Ghost, but just worshiping God. That's the person I'm talking to today. That's the person. You might be here. You might be online. You might pick this up, like I said, 10 weeks from now. But I'm talking to you today because God sees you. You might not think that anybody sees you. You might not think that anybody hears your heart's desire for more truth, for the Spirit of God in your life. But I'm telling you what, God has sent this man today to tell you, you can have the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ in your life. So Acts chapter 19, Paul, having passed through the upper coast of Ephesus, the Bible says, run unto the disciples of John. And he finds out they're believers in Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting? He didn't say, you're a believer in Jesus Christ? Well, welcome to the family of God. He didn't do it. We're talking about the same man who wrote to the church at Galatia. He said, if I or anybody else preach another gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be cursed, let him be damned. So he said, first question out of his mouth, after he found out they believed, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? That's what I mean, folks. I'm not dissing anybody. I'm not criticizing anybody for your faith in Jesus Christ. Wonderful. But I will have to ask you this. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Why? Because we're going to find out in very short order. Jesus said believers will receive the Holy Ghost. They'll speak with new tongues. So they said, well, we don't even know if there is a Holy Ghost. He said, how were you baptized? Under John's baptism. He said, well, we need to fix that. Laid his hands on them. They spoke with tongues. They prophesied. They received the Holy Ghost and were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this gospel demands a response. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and he said to them, he's giving his apostles the great commission. He's sending them out. He said, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to whole creation. Whoever believes, everybody say, and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned. King James says damned. And he said, and these signs will accompany those who believe. Everybody say believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. I can't pick that out of context and say, well, that's not what that means, because the elements of the new birth here, faith, receiving the Holy Ghost, being baptized, are all encapsulated in these two verses. And he told it to his disciples, who preached it completely and consistently throughout the book of Acts. Apostle Paul was rehearsing his conversion experience before a crowd, and he's telling of his time when he was knocked off the horse. He was sent to Ananias' house, and I find it very interesting. Go back in the book of Acts chapter 9. Add this to our homework list. Acts chapter 11. We're going to read that. Go to Acts chapter 9. Read his conversion experience, and then go to Acts chapter 22. In Acts chapter 9, when he was knocked off the horse, and Jesus said, hey, you need to quit persecuting me. I am God. You're persecuting the church. When you persecute them, you persecute me. Honest question deserves an honest answer. He said, you need to go to Ananias' house. Because what did Paul say? He said, what do I do? What do I got to do? He said, go to Ananias' house. God sent him to the man of God. He got to Ananias' house. He said, Brother Saul, glad you're here. He said, God sent you to me that you might receive the Holy Ghost and your sight. Prayed for him. We know he received the Holy Ghost. How do you know that, brother? Because read the book of Corinthians. He said, I thank God that I speak with tongues more than you all. Amen. But he was rehearsing his conversion experience before the crowd. And in Acts chapter 22, verse 16, he said, the Lord, Ananias told him, he said, and now why do you wait? King James says, why do you tarry? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. I've said for a while, and I was telling Pastor Matt this before service, I truly believe that baptism in the name of Jesus Christ is more than just a preacher saying the name of Jesus over you. My friend, you've got to have faith in Christ that he is going to remit your sins, and you've got to call upon the name of the Lord yourself, not while you're in the water. Please do it before you go down, in Jesus' name. Just a little disclaimer there in case I confuse anybody. Don't do it while you're underwater unless you do it in your mind. Please don't open your mouth. Wouldn't be very good. Anyway, the word call upon the name of the Lord is from a Greek word, which means to call upon for oneself. Profound. When you're baptized in the name of Jesus, call upon the name of the Lord. What am I calling on him for? I'm calling upon him and saying, Lord, I believe that you died for my sins and you rose again the third day. And then when I identify with your death and your burial right now, I'm going to come up out of the water and all my sins are going to be gone. And I can guarantee you, my friend, when you do that, they will be. It also means to call in one's behalf. The baptizer and the baptizee are calling on the name of the Lord. Ananias told Paul this. It means to call by the pronouncing of the name Jehovah. Now, I don't know what that does for you, but my friend, that just really tickles me. Why? Because when I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus, I am baptizing you in Jehovah. What did Jesus say? He said, I am come in my Father's name. I am come in my Father's name. It means like when we're getting ready to pray, we invoke the name of God. My friend, when I'm baptizing somebody in the name of Jesus Christ, we are invoking the very name of God. You can't argue with it. You can't dismiss it, my friend. That's why the devil don't want you baptized in Jesus' name, because he knows the name above every name is getting ready to get involved. He knows the name that can break your sin and break your addiction is getting ready to be called. He knows the name that has paid the price for your sin's remission is getting ready to be called, my friend. Amen. And one last. It can also mean to put a name upon. It means to surname. It means to permit oneself to be surnamed. It means to be named after someone, my friend. When you are baptized in Jesus' name, you take on the name of Jesus. Amen. That's exciting to me because I can call upon that name. If I've got that name, I can call upon that name. I'm telling you what, I got to call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. So the logical conclusion is if I was baptized and I didn't call on the name of the Lord and the name of the Lord was not called upon over me, they didn't say, I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ, Darren Pritt, for the remission of your sins. My friend, the name of Jesus Christ, I didn't take his name. Sister Donna, when you stood with Donnie at the altar, did they say, I now pronounce you husband and the wife of father and son and, I don't know, were you an uncle at the time, maybe? An uncle? I don't know. No. Mr. and Mrs. what? Wolford. Why? Because you took on his name. You took on his name. My friend, I'm telling you, God wants to get through to somebody. It does matter. It does matter what's spoken. The Word of God tells us that the name of the Lord must be called. That's what this verse is telling us. It must be pronounced over us. If it's not, I haven't taken his name. We're all not going to heaven just different ways, my friend. That's not the truth. And I would be a liar. And I would be damning your soul if I stood here and proclaimed that we're all going to heaven. We're just taking different routes. No, my friend. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And these men preached the very message that Jesus spent 3.5 years instilling into them. Not only is it written in the Word of God, and it's not that we need an extra biblical reference to validate the Word of God. But did you know you can go to various sources and find out that the early church did not baptize any other way than the name of Jesus Christ? And some of those references themselves are the Catholic Encyclopedia. The Encyclopedia Biblica from 1899 says, Jesus' name baptism as the original form. From these passages and from Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 13, he said, was Paul crucified for you? Were ye baptized in the name of Paul? It is a natural It is natural to conclude that baptism was administered in the earliest times in the name of Jesus Christ or that of the Lord Jesus Christ. It also says that in the name of Jesus Christ or the Lord Jesus Christ is used in Acts 2:38, 10:48, and it cites all the scriptures we just talked about. And he said, this view, he said, is confirmed. You find my place. The fact that the earliest forms of the baptismal confession appear to be single, not triple, as was the later creed the Bible teaches, it was only baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Catholic Encyclopedia from 1967 says an explicit reference to the Trinitarian formula of baptism cannot be found in the first centuries. What changed? The Council of Nicaea, the Council of Trent, the Apostles' Creed, and the Trinitarian doctrine, my friend, is what changed it all. Catholic Encyclopedia 1913, they acknowledge that the original formula for baptism was in the name of Jesus, but the Pope changed it. Not here to bash Catholics, not here to bash the Pope. I'm here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many other references. Persons were baptized at first in the name of Jesus Christ or in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Afterwards, with the development of the doctrine of the Trinity, they were baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. An Encyclopedia of Religions. My friend, the Apostle Paul stated in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. He said, there is one body and one spirit. Just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith. Jude wrote his epistle and he said, I've encouraged you to earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered to the saints. He wrote of a common salvation. Friend, there weren't many ways to get to God when this first started. I'm telling you, we're living in an idolatrous age. There's one Lord. There's one faith. There's one baptism. There's one God and Father of all who is over all and through all and in you all. I want to encourage you today as we stand in this house. The Lord Jesus Christ loves you. He died for your sins and he rose again the third day. Every time someone heard this message in the Bible and they asked a question, what do I have to do? The answer was always the same. You need to repent. You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, which is going to identify you by faith with his burial. You're going to bury the old man. You tired of being who you are? Be baptized in Jesus' name. You're tired of your past haunting you? Be baptized in Jesus' name. You're not sure whether you've done it right? I would definitely be baptized in Jesus' name. If they said the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost on you, according to Acts 22:16, they need to pronounce the name of Jesus over you. I would get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ today. Yes. If you're watching this webcast today or you watch this webcast 10 weeks from now, amen. God touches your heart, my friend. Go to our website. Church of Pentecost, Brunswick. Look this message up. Call the church phone number. Get on the email. Contact us. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name today. That's not what my preacher told me. I'm sorry what your preacher told me. I love you and I love your preacher, but I'm telling you what. I'm telling you what Jesus gave the apostles. And the apostles preached completely and thoroughly in the Word of God. They must pronounce the name of Jesus over you. And every time they asked the question, what do I do? The outcome was always, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, you'll speak in another language that you're not able to understand or that you never learn. Why? Because God is going to show you the most unruly member of your body. He's got control of your heart because he's got control of your tongue, my friend. God's going to renew you. God's going to renew the spirit of your mind. God's going to renew your heart. But it's a gospel that must be obeyed. The apostle asked the question. He said, judgment is going to begin at the house of God. He said, if it begin at us, he said, what will be the end of those who obey not the gospel? We started talking off this session that life is full of choices. God will not violate your choice. God will not violate your right to choose. Sometimes looking around us, it can seem unfair because of the consequences that can be created around us by our own choice and by the choice of others. It just can't. Let's be real. Sometimes we would just like somebody to choose for us, wouldn't we? Because it's a hard choice. I'm talking to somebody today. You've been wrestling. You've been wrestling with this. It's a hard choice. God loves you so much, He won't violate your right to choice. But know this. My dad always told me, he said, son, it's your decision to make. He said, but know this. He said, you're going to have to live with the consequences of the decision you make. And I'm talking to someone today, and I'm telling you in the love of God, it's your decision. And you're going to have to live with the consequences of that decision. You make the right choice, and I can guarantee you, you'll never be sorry. You'll never be sorry. That said, I want every head bowed and every eye closed. Church, I want us to begin to pray.